record win.
Good evening, everybody. In BBS land, this is Winfrey, and this is our Monday night, a simulcast between a conference call and the internet. And thank you all for tuning in. And we don't have Carla here yet. She emailed me an hour before. I hope she's okay. Let me start our tape recorder, which Seth so graciously... so graciously reminded me just a moment.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. You are not authorized to start a recording at this time. Please contact customer service if you need assistance.
Those of you that are listening, I put in the wrong number.
Press the pound.
Just a second. This is one of those Mondays.
I'm sorry, but the information you entered...
Please wait. You are not authorized to start a recording at this time. Please contact customer service if you need assistance.
For all of you that are waiting, just a moment.
Please enter your PIN followed by pound. Please wait. This conference is now being recorded.
All right. We're now on the air. Everything is working, except Carla's not here. So while we're waiting for Carla, we're going to have Chris sing "Come On Baby, Light My Fire."
I don't think so, Mr. Wynn. I could, though. You know that it would be untrue. Know that I would be a liar. Oh, you got that message. Oh, okay, I see now. I do, man. I do have a connection.
Chris sent me an email that he liked Jim Morrison. So beware of the email he sent me, guys, because you never know what's going to happen. Anyone else have a favorite song?
Well, I think I'm finally here.
Oh, Carla!
Yeah, finally. You know what? This is the third phone. I tell you, all my phones are suddenly toast. But at any rate, we have persevered, and I am with you.
Okay. Well, you know what? Because you were late, Claire in Tennessee, right?
I'm in Kentucky.
He did his debut of "Come On Baby, Light My Fire."
Oh, wow. I can remember walking down the streets of Cambridge in 1968 and listening to that for the first time.
Did you?
Yes, right. Long time ago. We're talking oldies, Wynn.
Oh, are you that old? Or are you just...
I am. You're just, you know, a youngster. And you heard it from your parents, right?
I tell you, Wynn, there's a lot of similarities. You know, obviously I'm not famous, but there's a lot of similarities if you look into it.
Well, let me ask you something. Do you have a lot of girlfriends?
Yes, well, you know, I have.
Well, good stuff in the right direction. Okay, well, we're going to mute everybody.
And I had one that actually looked just like Pam Morrison. I mean, the...
Jim Harris? Jim what?
Yeah.
Well, you know what?
Her name is Rebecca.
Then you have to clear yourself of the decadent side of Jim Morrison, okay?
Yeah.
You're doing a good job, though, right?
Yeah. Thanks for going good.
Okay. Okay.
All callers are muted, and they can unmute themselves.
All right. Everyone's muted. We have Carla here and Wynn here and Terry. And just for a little backup information, the general theme of our calls is what I call interdimensional communication. Communication of intelligence in other realms, or voices that identify themselves as intelligence in other realms, and that those of you who have been regular listeners on the call know that Terry channels a voice that has identified itself as the Council of Elohim, and Carla currently channels a voice that identifies itself as, I always say Quo, but when you're on the line, Carla, Kyo?
Kuo.
Is that right? Kuo. Kuo. How do I remember that? Ku, like a bird, Kuo.
There you go.
The phenomena of having voices come through, but I think far greater than the phenomena is kinds of information that comes through in these sessions. And in both cases, well, Carla is most well known for a series of sessions she did in the period of 1981 to 83, I believe, 120 or 100 and something sessions.
106.
100 and what? 106. Okay.
Uh-huh.
And she was in a channeling group, and she had a partner that was asking her questions named Don Elkin, who happened to be a very smart PhD university professor. And he asked a question that was very deep one time, and unexpectedly, a voice came through and said, "I am Ra." Carla went unconscious, never remembered what she said, and this voice spoke through her, and for the next few years, there was a series of very profound questions and answers that many people read them. It's probably one of the most influential channeled sources on the planet. And Carla maintains a very high degree of discipline in terms of how she sets up for the tuning, the purity, the intent, and she's influenced tens of thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people with work. And I'm always honored to have her once a month on our Monday calls. And Terry and I are kind of newbies. We probably make all kinds of mistakes by Carla's criteria, but we have a voice that comes through that says they're the Elohim, the Council of Elohim. And it's interesting because in both of these cases, voices identify themselves as, let me get rid of that beam. That indicates
entry and exit chimes are off.
Indicates somebody just got on the line. The voices identify themselves, group souls, huge group souls, and in one case, the Ra group is explaining themselves to be graduates of this realm, that they had physical embodiments, not on planet Earth, but on other planets, and they went through a series of embodiments and finally graduated. And when they graduate, they continue their evolution, and eventually they end up as a group soul, those that choose to, because there's free will, and the Ra group claims itself to be very closely involved with the evolution of planet Earth, and what they call a dimensional shift, do they call it a graduation, a harvest, different names, but indicating that we're in this very special period right now, and that there's something happening in this period that never happened before in the recorded history and even the non-recorded history of mankind, at least for 75,000 years. And interestingly enough, of course, I wrote the book about the reincarnation of Edgar Cayce, and the first book, David Wilcock, described the same episode happening right now, this graduation. And while I was writing that book, I had a woman by the name of Daphne spontaneously start communicating with me, and this voice said, please ask us questions. And that was my first encounter with the Elohim, and I asked all these questions about the book I was writing and about the graduation and this, and she didn't know the answers. And I got the same story, Daphne, and then through Terry. So it's a really interesting phenomena that four different people that have been involved in my life, Carla, not directly, of course, she did all this in the 1980s, but four different people have all come up with the same story through channeling that says we're in a dimensional shift, a 75,000-year cycle end. And in Terry's case, the voice, you know, I say the voice that identifies itself because, you know, when you're channeling and if a voice comes and says it's Joe or John or Ra or the Elohim, those are not easy things to validate. Like, how do you know it's a group soul? So the only way I can figure those things out is by watching the impact over time and seeing if it's congruent. And, of course, in Carla's case, we're, you know, 30 years now, the information and of all her channelings have been 100%, I think, and I'm not a complete scholar of your material. Is there 100% congruency, or are there any times
that
there's
contradiction?
99%, thank you. Okay. And in my channelings, there's probably pretty high congruency. And so, if this is true, it's a rather important period, because unbeknownst to us, we're here on Earth and we're dealing with our day-to-day issues, being alive on Earth and our physical embodiments. Most people don't think of themselves as coming back many, many times, thousands of times, you know, because you're so hooked to the experience of this realm. And even less people, even people that have adopted the idea of reincarnation, most people are not aware that right now, in this lifetime, they are making a decision as to the dispensation of their future lifetimes, and that there's going to be an unusual event where instead of Earth going on as normal, Earth itself is going through a graduation to what's called fourth density. And the way I describe it, the Earth is moving into the fourth chakra, and people know that, understand that. It's the heart chakra. And in order for a human to continue on the upgraded Earth, their heart chakra has to be open. Otherwise, their energy field no longer fits into the field of the Earth, and they become a cycle repeater. And they have to start and repeat the lessons of the third chakra on another planet in another star system. Now, as I was studying Carla's material, one thing that kind of blew me away, that struck me, because the magnitude of the impact and the power of these group souls is hard to fathom from a human level. And in the Ruckert channelings, the Ruckert-Ra channelings, the thing that bowled me over was that there were two planets in our solar system that lost life. All life was destroyed. One was Mars, and one was Maldek. And in Mars' case, the planet continued, but in Maldek's case, the planet exploded and turned into asteroids. And the Ra group moved souls from those planets to Earth to continue their incarnations. Well, if you have a group soul that moves entities, beings, like you and I, from one planet to another, that can do that, that is someone to get to know. That's someone to understand how they operate. You want to be on their good side. And you want to know the rules of the game, since I believe your material says that in this separation of souls, the Ra group is majorly kind of an administrator. Administrator, it's hard to find the right words, administrator of this event. Now, I've said all that, and I better make sure I didn't make any mistakes, so let me turn it over to Carla to correct me.
Well, thank you, Wynn. You're basically correct at everything, and you're not the first person today that's commented on how Jim and I and L&L Research are too polished. We're working on a download project for our store of the original Ra sessions, and the request from the guy that is the web guy at bringforth.org, he says, could you ask Jim and Carla not to make it too polished? Just leave it imperfect, because people like the feeling that they're really there. I told him, I said, that's a heck of a left-handed compliment to say that we're just not imperfect enough. But at any rate,
that's why you like my show.
Right. Well, I like your show because you're one of the good guys, Wynn. You're doing the very best you can to serve others and to put some new ideas out there, or actually old ideas that keep coming around again, and trying to help people wake up and experience what's happening right now. So I'm all for helping you out. I hope I can. I think that whether it's whether the Confederation entities that I channel are those of Ra, or those of Kuo, or some of the early ones that I channeled are also Confederation entities, the story is always and ever the same. The themes are the same. We are all one. What we do affects everybody. What everybody does affects us. We're all part of the same dance. And that dance is a dance of love. And this density, the third density, is the density of choice. We're basically trying to decide, you know, as Bob Dylan said, you got to serve somebody. Shall you serve others? Shall you serve yourself? That's the basic choice. That's what the last 75,000 years has all been about. Shall we serve others? And in serving others, you can't help but serve yourself, because what you put out comes back around a thousandfold. And all of a sudden, when you serve others, you're drowning in a sea of love that's returning to you. Or shall you try to arrange your universe to serve yourself, so that everybody around you is sort of a pawn, and you use them and manipulate them for your use? You have influence, you have power. This is the kind of thinking that would go to service to self. And notice that the Confederation never says good guys, bad guys, positive, negative. They just say service to others, service to self. Make your choice. Well, service to others happens to be the choice that I've made, the choice that those of Ra and those of Kuo and all the other Confederation entities like Atan and Oxal and so forth are talking about. If you want to find out about Service to Self information, it's out there. Look for something that ends in oid, you know, the insectoids or the whatever oids, and start reading what they suggest. And it may well be Service to Self information. I mean, you know, information on both sides of this is available. But the Confederation entities are attempting to help those with their spiritual journeys who have decided that they want to serve others and that they want to keep their hearts open and move through the densities in a positive sense, in the sense of service to others. I personally think it's a dandy choice because it is the one that opens up all of the choices to you. The most choices that you can have of what to do next are found in positive service to others, fourth density. So that's what I'm hoping for. I'm hoping that when I walk those steps of light and stop when the sunlight is just bright enough, that I'll be in fourth density and I'll get to see that drop-down menu of enhanced choices. There's so much more information in fourth density light, and that's really what's happening now, is that we're so close to the dawn of fourth density that the sun is really up, and we're getting interpenetrated in third density earth with fourth density light, and fourth density light carries a ton of additional information. It carries the truth. It moves you beyond the veil. So we are at this late date dealing with everything we didn't want to deal with up until now. Mm-hmm. Everything that is in our shadow side, we are looking at now, and we're having to acknowledge our full self and to redeem that self and ask it to serve the light. That's what's happening right now. It's very difficult because third density light is waning, and there isn't a whole lot of time left to make this choice. And it's a simple choice. You can do it in a heartbeat, and you can change your vibration, your frequency, to the point where you're a whole new you. So you got it, Wynn. You got it.
I want to say something there that I am sure everyone on this line says, all right, I want to be service to self. I want to be service to, not service to self, service to others. Everyone wants to
get
be.
Get it right.
everyone wants to be.
Yeah.
And, you know, it service to self, if you've had a number of lifetimes, service to self, it's not such an easy choice to switch because when you switch, when you attempt to switch, you still have your habit patterns of all your lifetimes. And in fact, they come up even stronger when you try to switch. So I wanted to add that caveat because for some people, there's no judgment here. No judgment. Theoretically, you can graduate either way. I'm not sure how that works, but theoretically, service to self person place to go also. And you know, I've tried to understand this in a way that I could conceptualize it. And the way that I have come to conceptualize it myself is that every being in the universe is positioned somewhere in this huge matrix, and service to self can go up as high as 50. Isn't that correct, Ella?
Say that again.
Service to self go up as high as fifth density.
Oh, that's correct. The problem
yeah.
that they have is not in the density of love, or the density of wisdom. They
mm-hmm.
they don't run into problems. The negative entities do not run into problems until they hit the density of unity. Because in the density
right.
of unity, all the positive and negative dynamics become unified and harmonized.
Right.
And all
right.
of a sudden, they have to face the fact for the first time that the heart is real, love is real, and they're going to have to acknowledge it. It's a crushing blow to a negatively oriented soul. But it's what is. And, you know, if they want to progress, and of course everybody wants to progress, they have to swallow it. So you get a lot of people jumping ship from negative polarity to positive polarity in sixth density, and of course they become the strongest service to others advocates out there because of the psychology of making that flip. You know, the newbie is always the most enthusiastic member. So you get people that are just absolutely chock full of love because they've stored up all this energy and then they've released it in a switch. And so the conversion is very powerful. I think you can see that right here on Earth when someone who is not believed in anything all of a sudden has a moment of epiphany and takes on Christianity or Judaism or Islam or Buddhism or something, and one of the religious systems, and all of a sudden they're converted. And nobody is more enthusiastic than a new convert. So that's what happens in the density of unity. But for the density of love and the density of wisdom, which really takes in a whole lot of time, as we would understand time, we go our separate ways. Positive polarity and negative polarity have separate lessons. That's
one
the consideration cosmology of it anyway.
One way that I look at service to self is a being that's positioned somewhere in the matrix that doesn't know how to get energy from the things that are behind it, divine source. So it believes it has to get energy from things below it. Do you follow? So may not even be aware that it's making that choice because it's gone through so many lifetimes, and the chances are it has been through so many lifetimes, where all it's known was, I've got to get energy from something below me. And then that works all the way down the line from, you know, a simple human on this planet, very exalted beings. I say the word exalted, but exalted in the negative, exalted in the high negative, because focused on what's below them. You know, in the Ra channelings, it spoke about the Logos, and I was wondering, do you think the Logos is Ra's term for the Elohim? Because supposedly the Elohim were the original breakoff, and we've had many conversations with how they created this realm.
No, actually I don't. I think that the Logos is before manifestation. I think that in the cosmology of the Confederation, the first thing, the only thing that's not distorted from ultimate reality is the unmanifest mystery of the one infinite creator, which the Ra group has sometimes called intelligent infinity. After that, you have the first distortion of the Law of One, which is free will. And by this first distortion, the creator chooses to know itself. And so it projects itself into the world of ideas, let us say, the metaphysical or time-space continuum. And that is not manifest. It's an idea. The Gospel of John begins, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. And that word in Greek, which is the original language of the Apostle John, is logos. And I believe it was in that precise way that Ra used the word logos, as the idea of unconditional love. Now, where the Elohim come in is after the second distortion, which is the logos, and the third distortion, which is light. And light is that manifester. Light creates the illusions, the nested illusions of all the densities. And I believe it is at that point that those entities, which are sometimes called angels, archangels, seraphim, cherubim, all of that, come in and form councils to create. And each sun has its council of creators. And I believe that is where the Elohim and the angels come in.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty close to the original Logos, but it isn't the creator, it isn't the Logos. It is several distortions removed from the original mystery, which I think will always be a mystery. Even to those of Ra, it's the mystery.
Right. That would be what we refer to as the one infinite creator. Yes?
Right. Or the one great original thought.
The first thought.
They use the word thought, the word logos. It's determinedly abstract. I would probably link it in terms of what we've run into before, you know, in the furnishings of our mind, with Plato's ideals, world of ideals.
Mm-hmm. Okay. You know, Terry, are you there?
I'm here.
You better not be so quiet, okay? Have any thoughts? Have any thoughts on all of this? I shouldn't say that. That's taking your free will away. You can be quiet if you want to. But I want to give you the opportunity to throw your, I won't say 2 cents, because it's worth more than 2 cents. Never mind. Just go ahead.
I appreciate hearing the information about the logos and the sun. This is some of the things that we had touched upon, but not very deeply.
Is that it?
Yes.
Okay. Thank you.
You got to appreciate brevity when you find it.
Right.
Especially after a blah, blah, blah like me.
You know, I took something out of some of the raw material, and I thought I was just going to read this. For those of you that have never heard the raw material, you can hear how they describe, you know, a little bit about their structural way that they express information. So I think this is on book 3. The first level is planetary, and that which may be called angelic. This type of guardian includes the mind-body-spirit complex totality or higher self of an entity and those inner plane entities which have attracted this entity. It's inner seeking. Okay, what they're saying there is that a human has a higher self, and that plane entities or other beings are attracted to your higher self because of your inner seeking. In other words, as you start to look, reach, and try to find truth, or whatever word you would choose, truth or higher planes of existence, that idea automatically starts to attract entities to support you, invisible entities, spirit entities, because of your seeking. Remember that one, Carla?
Yes, I do. And I can attest to it from real life experience as well. Usually, I couldn't. I'm not psychic at all. But in 1971, I was at a very successful materialization seance held by Reverend James Tingley at Anderson, Indiana. And I had been to probably a dozen seances that were bogus. This one was quite real. And I collected a couple of angels at that seance who just said they were drawn to me, and they just asked permission, could I could I be with you? Could I find lost things for you? Could I love you and help you feel safe? So I said, yes, please do come with me. And a lot of times if someone writes for healing, I'll ask them if they want an angel. And so if they say yes, I'll ask one of my angels to go and ask, you know, who what's your name, so that I can tell the person, and I'll get the impression of a name. So I'll write and say, by the way, I'm sending you an angel. His name is George, and he won't be able to help you unless you ask for him. So please ask for George, and thank George for his help. And he wants to love you and make you feel safe. And I've had many people write me back and talk about the healings that they've experienced and the experiences that they've had with their angels. So I know for sure that it works because I've experienced it myself, and other people have experienced it at my suggestion. You, Terry, well, have you had that kind of experience also?
No, but she's going to, I think.
Yeah,
Terry, isn't that a great idea?
I don't know, because for me, I think it's a great idea, but when I'm talking to the Elohim, they tell me that they're non-linear and they can work with many people at one time, and they can be with a person, and they have a repertoire of healing frequencies and tools that they can bring to the individual. And so that's similar to the angelic thing. However, the Elohim, there's multiple of them, multiple energies. They have their division of grace. And so it's not just one singular angelic being that comes. So that's what I'm used to.
Yeah, I think it would be the difference between dealing with the angelic energy at the beginning of the vine, not the root necessarily, but as it comes out of the ground, where all the branches are coming off of it, and there's consciousness there that is of a higher order than, say, the energy at the end of one of those branches, which would be the kind of angel that I was talking about when I said I send people angels. It's not the same order. You know, in there are many orders of angels, and there is a hierarchy there. And it's not, oh, well, I'm better than you are. It's I come from the Creator with fewer steps, you know,
mm-hmm.
there, with fewer distortion.
Yeah,
there's
true.
Less distortion in the angelic energy that you can channel, Terry, than there would be in any particular angelic consciousness that I would be aware of. Say, the angels that flock around me in my home. When I first came here to this home in 1984, the first thing that astounded me was I went upstairs and the sunlight coming in from the backyard into the big windows across the back of the hall were full of angels, and I was just stunned, and I sat there on a piece of furniture that was plopped in the hall, you know, and I was so glad. I just sat there, and I drank it in. So I think that when we're saying the word angel, it's sort of like saying the word, anything that has orders of magnitude. If you look at the smoke, well, I know a person in incarnation is like one of my angels. We are at the end of the vine of our soul stream. But if you go back to the soul stream, it's a much bigger self than we in incarnation could possibly be, because it involves all of our experiences through all of our incarnations in all densities. So, yeah, Terry, Your angelic energy that you're able to channel is much less distorted than any particular angel that you would talk to, because it's a group energy as opposed to a singular energy. Make sense?
Yes. Yeah, you described it exactly the way I see it.
Mm-hmm. Now, for you guys that are listening tonight, there's some real keys here. Inner seeking and ask for angels, okay? Ask for help, inner plane positive help, because these are two women that are directly experienced how that works and sharing it. And, you know, it works if you do it. And now, the next paragraph, in the same raw reading, it says the second class is who ward this process are those of the Confederation. Now, ward, Carla, means monitor, correct?
Monitor and guard.
Monitor and guard, okay. Now, the first level, remember, is the plane entity. Okay? Second class are those of the Confederation who have the honor duty of standing in the small places at the edges of the steps of love light so that those entities being harvested, I like to use the word graduating, will not, no matter how confused or unable to make contact with their higher self, stumble and fall away for any reason other than the strength of the light. These Confederation entities catch those who stumble, set them aright, so that they may continue into the light. Now, I think that's amazing, but how would you interpret that really simple language?
Are you asking me or Terry?
Well, you're the one who channeled it. I figured.
Oh, okay. Well, I was talking about the steps of light earlier, and I think it is pretty literal. I think that in the graduation process, of course, this is all in energy bodies. This is not in the physical body. When we leave the physical body at the time of entering larger life, we leave in the indigo ray body. But for the purposes of graduation, we move into the violet ray body, which is a readout of our entire energy system. And in that, we walk these steps of light, and each step is a specific, accurately monitored frequency of light. And it becomes denser with light, denser with information on every step by an increment, by a small increment. So you keep walking these steps of light into the sunlight, and when the sun gets too strong for you, you stop. Now, if you've stopped in third density, by your own preference, by your own needs, you're going to have to repeat third density again because you can't take fourth density light yet. Those who have lived in their open hearts even a day are already changed to the point where it's very possible they could graduate. So I don't agree totally with you, Wynn. It is hard to break habits. It's hard to make new habits, but it's not impossible at all. And a lot of people have done it. So I think that, you know, it's good to encourage people to go ahead, break the habit of thinking about yourself first and others second. Make the habit of keeping your heart open and asking yourself, where is the love in this moment? And every time that you fall back, well, pick yourself up and start over again. You know, we have all the time in the world for rehearsal. So whenever it is that we graduate, we're walking these steps of light, and if we've been able to hold a frequency in this incarnation, which is loving, then we're going to be able to walk right into fourth density light. And mm-hmm. So under no circumstances is there any judgment. There is no creator that frowns and says, oh, well, you're going to have to go to hell. There is no hell. It's a wonderful cosmology in that you're responsible for yourself, but you have all the time in the world, literally. You have this this try at graduating third density, and if you don't make it, you repeat. It's like school. and we're in the third grade right now in the School of Souls. And if we get to the end of the year and we haven't been able to make that choice, and we can't graduate in the positive sense, we can't graduate in the service to self sense, we just can't graduate. We haven't made our choice. Okay, well, we'll have, you know, 75,000 more years of McDonald's. That's all right. And McJobs and McLives. And, you know, we'll get a grip.
Flavor.
You know, we have all the time that we need.
Yeah.
So I love that.
I'm sorry.
And I love the, I love the fact that... I love the fact that, the Confederation entities are standing there to make sure that nobody gets lost.
Yeah, it seems to me that what they're saying is no way do you have to be perfect to graduate.
That's right.
You need to have enough light they can grab you, pull you through, so to speak, and that they're guarding and monitoring the whole process so no mistakes happen. And the third group watching over this process, that group that you call the Guardians. You never channeled the Guardians, did you, Carla?
I'm not sure. I don't believe so. I think that the Guardians are not necessarily Confederation.
Uh-huh.
They might be angels, they might be Confederation, they might be those energies involved with the logos on this planet, which is actually a sub-logos.
Right.
Since the sun takes their logoshood from the Creator.
In reading...
I have a question.
You have a question, Terry?
Yes. Carla, I've always wondered, could you say something about how the densities change as you go from third to fourth and up?
I could. Actually, I've had experience with that is very eye-opening. The first thing that people think about third density going into fourth is it's all going to take place on this one planet. That's actually not true. The densities are nested in this planetary influence. The Confederation always speaks of planetary influences rather than planets, because in each density, the planet is there, it looks the same, but third density is a density of physicality, it's a density of chemicals, it's a density of our bodies as chemical distilleries. Fourth density is a density that is metaphysical in nature, and it could be compared to the inner planes in terms of its makeup. So it interpenetrates just as first and second density interpenetrate third density, so that we see first density, we see the rocks, we see the powers, the air, the fire, the rain, the earth. We see second densities, animals and plants, but we're actually on a third density earth. And so we are seeing that which includes all of the above. In fourth density, we see third, second, and first density, but we see them from a metaphysical point of view. They're all energy. It's energy bodies. It's an energy planet. It's not the same planet. Third density doesn't have to clear out to make room for fourth density.
I don't know if you heard Seth. We're running over, as usual. So
okay.
LLresearch.org is Carla's website. Give her a call. She might send an angel your way. And thank you all for listening. And thank you, Terry. Well, I would email Carla and say, I'm going to get you in trouble. You better get some more angels. Italian. And we'll see you all Wednesday when we answer questions with Terry. Thank you so much.